We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, so we're moving right along. You know, we live in a world today that's filled with deception and lies, with continued degradation of honor and morality. I don't know about you all, but I've now lived long enough to look back and see how people's attitudes and views have changed a bit. It's quite alarming. Everyone seems to have an agenda, and they're willing to adjust the truth to match their agenda.
Yeah.
Just incredible to see. The question that I have this morning is for you is, how wide open are you as far as your hearing and what you see, and how accepting are you of what's going on in the world? How well do you discern the truth from what's being told? Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to come and present your word, how humbling that is, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are with us. I thank you, Lord, that you provided your word as clear guidance for us. And as we walk through this journey of life on our way to be with you eternally, Lord, we can still draw a little closer to you. We can understand more about you. And Lord, we can follow you a little better. Lord, I just pray this morning that as we open your words, that my words would be forgotten and that your message would be loud and clear. Lord, hide me behind your cross. I just pray these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. So 1 John 4, we're going to look at the first six verses this morning. Let's read through one time. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who does not know God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Wow. There's something strong to think about already this morning. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, the Christian church falls under the same attacks as, if you will, a secular area of the world. Satan doesn't want us to know who Christ is. Absolutely is still at war, even though he's lost the battle. He can't get back at God, but he can sure attack us. And he's doing a bang-up job. Satan is the prince of the earth that controls much of what is said and done. I'll ask again, how well do you discern truth from error? John is about to provide his readers, including us, with another warning about false prophets, like the ones he provided in the latter half of chapter 2. He's reinforcing the fact that they are real. The antichrists, little a, antichrists, are here. They've been here since the time of Christ. And they're very active. John, in this section of scripture, is going to call them two different things. He's going to call them the spirit of the Antichrist and also the spirit of error. And he's speaking about the same motivating people, if you will. It's interesting, as you read the Bible, the Antichrist is prophesied to be the one who comes deceiving and opposing Jesus. Well, we've seen many of those small a Antichrists already in the world. Jesus talks about them during his day. We have them during our day. Someday, I don't know, maybe today, there's going to be another Antichrist, capital A. That's going to be essentially his title. When we read 2 Thessalonians 2:9, it says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." That's some powerful stuff when you think about it. The Antichrist is coming, and those who have not received Christ are going to be deceived. That Antichrist is going to try to deceive the believers as well. Make them useless on this earth. They won't lose their salvation, but they can certainly lose their usefulness because of their doubt and their folly. As I read the Bible, I look back at this whole concept of deception. You know, deception started very early in the Bible. As we read chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 13, Adam and Eve had already committed their sin of eating the forbidden fruit. And the Lord came and was questioning them. And this is what he said to Eve. "And the Lord said to the woman, 'What is it you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" There's the first deception in the Bible. There's where we see it starting, and it's rolling forward. And it's gaining momentum, and it's getting bigger as we get closer to the end. The deceptions have been continuous. They haven't let up. As we open 1 John, we're going to see that John's got some very strong words here on how we just deal with that. And he's got a call of action actually built into the scripture. And so let's go back and start in verse 1 of chapter 4. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." John begins again with that word beloved. Beloved, the ones that I love, the ones that are children of God, the ones that are growing up under his tutelage. Such a beautiful word for John to use. Beloved. Do you think of yourself as a child of God? That's who you are if you've accepted Jesus. Throughout this life, you are under his care. Throughout this life, he's trying to raise you up to be more like him. Child of God. Then he goes on, "Do not believe every spirit." This is a straight corollary to don't believe anything you hear, right? Just because somebody says it doesn't make it the truth. And trust me, if it's on the internet, it's probably not. I didn't say it quite that way. But there is a lot of false information there as well. We need to be discerning in all things. This is true across our culture, our world, and especially true about spiritual things. Deception's out there. There are more people in the world that are lying about who Jesus is than are teaching the truth. Do you realize that? And you question that. You say, oh, is he right? Think about it. All the Middle Eastern and Far Eastern religions. The Far Eastern religions will say, yes, he's a god. He's one of, I don't know, 500,000 of them. But he's a god. We believe in Jesus. We like him. You get into the Middle East, and the Middle East will say, well, Jesus was a prophet. You know, he came before Muhammad. Muhammad's a much greater prophet. But he's not God. Allah is God. There's two major groups in the world right there that are telling you who they think Jesus is, and it's not who Jesus is. And we could go the rest of the way around the world, and I could list group by group. I mean, even here, what do we hear? We hear groups that are out there that will say, well, you know, he was just a man. He died, but he wasn't really God. That's on our ground. That's in our backyard. We hear that sort of thing. The list goes on of all those lies and deceptions. But it's all about discrediting Jesus. So it's all about the Antichrist. Antichrist, against Christ. But test the spirits is what John says next. Whether they are of God. Truly faithful people differentiate what they hear. If you hear it, question it. Especially me, being honest and upright. Question what I say. Look in here. See if it matches up. Hold me accountable. Hold everyone else in this assembly accountable. And hear what other people say and compare it to this book. That's how you're going to know if it's the truth. When you see the word that's in the Bible, test, that word actually got my curiosity up, so I went back and looked at the Greek. And the Greek word for test is dokimazo, and it really means to make a trial of something or scrutinize. Now, that's not a very good way to describe it, because in reality what happens was the Romans would take a coin and they would scrutinize it. That was dokimazo. And the reason they did is because Roman coins had value. They were made out of silver or they were made out of gold. And, you know, if you were really clever and you carved just a little bit of that silver off each time you got a coin, you know, the coin would get a little lighter, but you'd get a little heavier, if you know what I mean. So there was those sorts of things that went on. So they would scrutinize money when they got it. It wasn't just a piece of paper. It was something that you looked at. Something you made sure you got your value. And that's the same word that's here when it's talking about testing. Very carefully test it. Look at it. Think about it. We want to be really careful that we do not fall into the enemy's camp with lies. So when you hear something, test it. And that's exactly what the scripture says. But test the spirits, whether they are of God. Truly differentiate. You know, if you go back in the Old Testament and you say, okay, is this a New Testament concept? No, it's not. In fact, Moses talked about false prophets. In Deuteronomy 18:22, he said, when a prophet speaks the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing that the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So it's saying, if this guy is speaking something and it's wrong, and it doesn't happen, he's not real. Don't worry about it. Moses, again, in Deuteronomy 13, 1, verse 5, says, if it arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and that sign or wonder comes to pass, so it actually happened, right? Then what? He says, and the prophet goes on and says, let's go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams. So even if somebody tells you the truth one time, don't follow them if the next thing out of their mouth is a lie. It's really possible for a liar to tell the truth once in a while, you know? It happens. Careful. Always be discerning. Paul, in the New Testament, told the people of Corinth the following in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except the Holy Spirit. There is an acid test for you right there. What do the people think or say about Jesus? If they say he's the genuine article, maybe you should pay attention to him. But if they're not declaring Jesus to be Lord and God, then we better be very, very wary of what they're saying. Jesus also warned of false prophets. Did you know that? There was a lot of them. I'm only going to list two of them very quickly here. One of them is Matthew 7:15, when he says straight up, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." When I started talking, I said that the people that lie have got an agenda. There you go. Jesus just said it. They are ravenous wolves. There is a reason for people to deceive you. They don't do it for fun. They're motivated by something, whether they realize it or not. In Mark 13:21, Jesus says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'Look, he is there,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." You see, way back then, Jesus is predicting these false prophets are going to come, and they're going to try to deceive everybody. And oh, by the way, as we read earlier, that Antichrist, capital A, is going to be exceptionally deceptive, that even some of the Christians are going to follow him because of the level of his deception. Similar warnings are made by Peter and Jude that false prophets are coming. You know, the false prophets, the Antichrist, if you will, if you think about it, this world is their stage. Satan rules this world. They've got first place on that stage. And they're going to play it for all it's worth. So we need to stay aware. That verse that we were reading goes on. It says, "Many false prophets have gone into the world." I think about that. There were many false prophets in John's day. That's what he's saying. Many false prophets have gone into the world already at his time. Now, that's right around the time of Jesus, just after Jesus' death. What's it like today? Incredible. You know, the best lies are the ones that are closest to the truth. So when we look at these false prophets, I would warn you, the ones that still sound very orthodox need to be careful. What kind of poison is laced in? It only takes a little bit of poison in the soup to make you sick. Test what people say. Don't follow blindly. 1 John 4:2, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." John just provided us a command. That is not a request. Test every spirit. Every single one. The test is pretty simple, right? What do you believe about Jesus? That's the test. However, if you think about it, it cuts right to the bone as far as discerning. If you remember, when we talked about Jesus Christ, where that name came from, Jesus originated from the Hebrew, which is it's Yeshua, which is our equivalent of Joshua, but it means God saves. Christ is effectively the word, translation of the word that means the Messiah. It also means the anointed one. You see, Jesus is the anointed king who is coming. Jesus holds all three positions of those that are anointed in the Old Testament. He's the priest, he's the prophet, and he's the king. All. So what do they say about Jesus? The word for confess here, or acknowledge, is the word homologeo. It declares a full confession you think about that word that I just said, it sounds foreign. Homo is the one legeo word. It is the one word. It is my only confession. Jesus has to be your only confession. That's what it says. Let's move on to 1 John 4:3. 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world already. John's now turned the tables, right? He's basically saying, okay, if you confess God, that's one situation. That's where it could be a true prophet. But if you don't confess God, it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Anyone that does not confess Jesus Christ. This is really splitting out the true believers. This is splitting out the true people that are espousing Jesus. And you know, here when we talk about Antichrist, you think about somebody standing up here and talking to everybody. Antichrist could be anybody. Anybody that is walking around and is not declaring the true Christ is of the Antichrist. They are against Christ. Anybody. So it's saying that if they don't have a true confession of who Christ is, they're not the Antichrist. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. John again addresses the readers as little children, but immediately tells them that they are victors. Isn't that amazing? If you think about that, little children, you are victorious. You don't hear that very often together, you know? I think of David and Goliath. That was the picture that came to my mind. It's not a really good fit, but it's the one that came to my mind. But it might actually be pretty good. You see, what's going on here is it says, because he who is in you is greater. Who is in you? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God himself. You see, we do not live under death and defeat. We live under life and victory. Amen. And that's because of the filling of the Holy Spirit. We are filled with life. We are filled with the love of God. And we are filled with discernment. We have the power to overcome, but it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit that's in us. Again, I was looking around to see what other people said and also what the Greek said. I love what Charles Spurgeon said about that. He says, of this very thing, he said, Satan dwells in the world and he is mighty, but God dwells in you and he is almighty. Do not be afraid. I really like that. Amen. Yes, Satan is mighty. God is almighty. And he's filled you with himself. How much more power could you ask for? Especially to overcome evil. He's already defeated Satan, and he fills you. We are not subservient to Satan. We are God's children, his little children in this verse. I love it. Our little children have capability of defeating Satan in front of us through his Spirit. Not ourselves. The word for overcome in that verse where it says, you are of God, little children, you have overcome them, the Antichrists. The word for overcome is nikao. Many of you will recognize that as Nike. That brand name, Nike, right? It means victory. You have overcome. You have nikao. It's perfect tense showing that that victory already happened and it remains. You continue to have victory over the Antichrist. If they get to you, if they get inside your head, you let them in because you have not been discerned. 1 John 4:5 says, "They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world hears them." Man, there's a testimony. You wonder how some of these groups get to be so big. It's because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're of the world, they are listening to the lies of Satan, and they're buying into them. You think about some of the largest groups in the world. They don't have God. You think about some of these Far Eastern and Middle Eastern religions that are right here on our shores. They don't have God. They buy into lies. Some of those pacifist religions have got nothing but ill will for Christians. You really pay attention to what's going on. Be discerning. No matter how eloquent the arguments, how much self-prosperity, I'll get the word out, they teach, or how close they appear to the Bible, having no true confession of Christ means that they're of the Antichrist and they're against Jesus. I hear some of these prosperity pastors, and they drive me crazy. Because you see them on TV, and they've got like a zillion people out in front of them. And they're preaching away. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. God loves you. He wants the best for you. He wouldn't let anything ever bad happen to you. Heavens, no, you're never going to go through a trial in your life. You hear what these people say, and they're drawing crowds. Why? Scripture says, people want to hear those that tickle their ears. And that's what they're doing. They're getting crowds, but the crowds aren't getting fed with the real word of God. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than the world. Wow. That's something. Think about as we move on. The world hears who they want to hear because they don't know any better. We discern because we have the Spirit. The messages that are being taught absolutely match the worldview because they come from the world. Think about that. The people are in the world, they're schooled in the world. Oh, by the way, you know, there's God's not real. We're all here because of a big accident, a big bang, and then, you know, everything happened. I believe in the big bang. God spoke and bang, it happened, you know? But that's, you know what I'm saying? They don't have God. They hear what the world's taught them to hear. And so it's what they want to hear. It fits their worldview. Don't tell them something different. It doesn't fit. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are of God. There's two ways to interpret that when John's speaking. And I'm going to tell you the one that's a little bit more obtuse. And that is when John is speaking and he says, we are of God. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about the apostles or is he talking about the church? I only bring this up because it was brought up to me when I read through this. It's not very likely it's the apostles. It's the church because John is writing to the church. So, we are of God. John is deliberately encouraging the believers. If that's accurate, and I'm sure it is, that He's speaking to each one of us. Where do you stand today? We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who knows God hears us. You see, we should all hear that message loud and clear. We should hear it coming from each other. We should encourage each other with the word, the pure word, not the opinions. We should recognize the message because the message is coming from the Bible. It's coming from what we know. It's coming from the Spirit of truth. I would argue that from what John has told us today, there's three things. There's three calls of action, if you will. The first one is, John told us that we need to test the claims of the spirits by examining their confession of who Jesus is. Is Jesus the Christ? Did He come in the flesh? Is He the Savior? That's the first part. The second part is, who's their audience? Who are they catering to? Is it a world message? Or is it a message centered on God? And the third thing, we're supposed to use the leadership of the Holy Spirit to help us discern. And that's probably the biggest one of the three, because you see, the Holy Spirit already knows what you're hearing, whether it's the truth or whether it's the spirit of the Antichrist. We should be sure by listening to that still, small voice. What's He telling us? I don't know about you, but I've heard messages already where I'm sitting there and I'm saying, something's just not right about this. I can't lay my finger on it, but it's just not right. And I would argue that a lot of times that's the Holy Spirit just kind of nudging us, saying, pay attention. Pay attention. Put that filter on. Listen carefully to what's being said. So the questions that I have for you today kind of reel us all the way back to the beginning. The first one is how critically do you listen to and watch the things that are going on around you? The information is getting poured in. You know, we live in an information age. It's a, quote, digital age, and everywhere you look, there's information coming in. How much do you filter it? What about when you're watching TV or you're listening to whatever, a podcast or whatever, the news, or even the local gossip? Oh, but we don't do that. We're Christians. We don't gossip. We just let other people know what's happening through prayer requests. Yeah, I know how it works. I can see a few of you out there know how it works too. But you know what I'm saying? How good are our filters? Do we have them up? It seems relatively safe within the confines of the church. But you know, Jesus pointed out in that scripture I read earlier that there are wolves in sheep's clothing within the churches. We need to be careful. We need, again, to have those filters in place. How much poison do you allow in your system? I know for me, sometimes it's accidental. And you flip on the TV, you're going to see something you don't want to see. It's awful what's out there today. Where's your filters? It's absolutely important that you remain vigilant each and every day. Watch out for those antichrists, small a. And for that matter, the one with the capital A, the one who's coming to deceive the nations. As if He's not here, He'll be here soon. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I do thank You for this day, for this word, for the encouragement that You give us, Lord. There is so much packed in Your word. And there is so much that we need to understand. We live in a corrupt world, and we know that. We know that we need to follow You closely. And Lord, in my mind's eye, I think about us, with Your arm around us, leading us. Oh, Lord, we need that close relationship. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your direction. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement that you provide us through other people. Lord, I just pray that this week as we go forward, you make us faithful ambassadors. And I ask this in Jesus' blessed name.